with the church in Ephesus, a faith community looking to learn and grow into faith and life together, just as we are. Paul writes this, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ, whom he raised from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it is good to be here, finally, officially, formally. It has been a journey. It's been a good journey. And I'm glad to see we've got some of our friends here joining in the playground, as I've told it is called. If there's others who want to join in there, do some coloring and work on their welcome page, welcome to join over there. But it's good to be here. We're unpacking, as you can imagine, learning the streets. Why do they have names and numbers? Could they not decide? I mean, I'm going on Route 83. Oh, what's that? Oh, Bolin. Yes, that one. Okay. I look forward to learn from each of you some of those best places, favorite hangouts. Of course, like the best places for fish tacos. You need to learn that. If you were here in my candidating sermon, you heard a little about that. Or a good place to watch a Broncos game. Like to know that. Let's go Broncos. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Laurie. Where's the best selection of adult beverage of the malt variety? Anybody on tap? I'd like to know that. Good places to hang out, check out in Chicago and Milwaukee and Grays Lake and all around here. Most of all, we look forward to settling in and to being here and calling this home. It is good to be here. So thank you for being here this morning, too, to welcome us. We appreciate that. We want to jump into our message this morning. We heard from Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writing and sharing to people who, it's all new. What does this faith in following this person named Jesus mean, and how do we go about it? And he raises up a verse about hope. Before I get there, I wonder, this is 15 years since that day. Do you remember where you were? Yeah. I imagine for every one of us who were maybe over about 20, we remember exactly where we were when we heard the news. Do you remember where you were 2 days before? Probably not so much. I remember distinctly. Because 2 days before September 11th in 2001, I was at my home church that had sponsored me and supported me as I went to seminary. I was just done with seminary. I had just received a new call to a church in Colorado, and I was going through what was called an ordination service. It's where, in the Presbyterian tradition, as pastors, we have this service and this moment where we're commissioned and prayed over and prepared to say, And now go serve. Serve as a minister of word and sacrament. That took place for me 2 days before 9/11. And in fact, on 9/11, I was scheduled to fly from San Francisco Airport back to Denver. And woke up to the news that morning, my mom ringing, saying, "Turn on the TV! Turn on the TV!" As many of us did with friends and family. And we watched. And we noticed the silence in the air. We're right by the airport. There was always planes flying, but not that day. And it has struck me ever since that moment that I was ordained into ministry, formerly in the Presbyterian Church, in a time and a season unlike any other in American history. Was ordained into a time where there's a different sense of unsettledness, of fear, of uncertainty and chaos. That there is that darkness, that evil that looms, that rose up so presently on 9/11, and yet every once in a while since keeps rearing its ugly head. And so what does that mean for who I am as a pastor, and what does that mean for who we are as a church? Because I believe the church is the central, most important entity of God's mission in the world. And through the centuries, God has called the church in different ways, has given a different purpose to the church, depending on the season and the place. And I think in this season, ever since 9/11, to me, what God is calling us to as the church, as the people of God, has to do with what Paul is speaking about in Ephesians 1. It's in that verse where he says, "I pray that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." You may know the hope. See, it seems to me part of this 9/11 life is that many people are not so sure they have much hope. It feels like there's more negativity and despair than hope, doesn't there? And so I think our season as a church, particularly in America, but globally, I think too, is that we are to be people who bring hope. Because we have the ultimate foundation for hope in Christ. But what is hope, really? Well, let's consider. There's lots of ways we think about hope. Lee Strobel wrote a book not too long ago based on hope. He's got a few good quotes. First one, he says, "Look, hope is the sense of expectancy and optimism that God wants to instill in all of us." A sense of expectancy and optimism. That's not exactly a 9/11 sentiment, but I think it is what the church can bring into our culture. A sense of optimism and expectancy. Why would we do that? How would we do that? Well, first, we have to think about hope for a moment. What do we base our hopes on? Well, our hope is in Christ. We have two solid anchors for that hope. The first is what Christ has done. Our hope is in Christ because we have seen in him, here is God in the flesh. Come into the world, not staying distant and remote, but saying, "I love my creation too much to stay apart from it, too much to watch my people wrestle with one another and debase one another, but instead, I want them to love and to support and to care and to build up. And so I'm going to go and redeem and save." And so our hope gets grounded in what Christ has done. But Jesus always talked about something that is yet to come as well, about the kingdom. And so our hope gets grounded in his promise of this kingdom come that we just prayed about in the Lord's Prayer. You remember that Lord's Prayer? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven." That's a part of Jesus' mission and calling to the church. And we get to be the people who help bring about the kingdom. The kingdom is a place of optimism, a place of joy, hope. We bring hope. Strobel, another quote of his, I love this. He says, "Hope is the inextinguishable flicker God ignites in our souls to keep us believing in the prevailing power of his light, even when we are surrounded by utter darkness." That sounds like a 9/11 moment, doesn't it? The people of hope, even in the midst of falling towers and crashing planes, even in the midst of suicide bombers, even in the midst of those kind of darkness moments, people of hope still know there is a flicker of light. There is still yet what God is up to, and we do not give up. And we live with that sense of optimism and expectancy. We live sharing that flicker. Viktor Frankl was an author, an Australian psychiatrist. He wrote a particular book called Man's Search for Meaning many years ago. Anybody familiar with that one? One, two, well done. The rest of you, it's worth reading at some point. But Frankl was an Austrian Jew who survived the Holocaust in a concentration camp. He writes of a moment, well, many moments in the camp, but one of them in particular strikes me as I think about hope and the flickerings of light. It was a part of the rhythm of the camp, I guess, that early mornings they would drag the prisoners out of the barracks, cold, dark mornings, and take them into the fields to do different chores, sometimes to dig graves for them to fall into later, sometimes other work. It was one of those cold mornings, still dark. He's going out with so many others who have lost all hope, who cannot imagine they will ever survive. And he recounts how there was that one morning as they were out doing work in the fields that he looked up and he saw in the distance on a hilltop a farmhouse. Simple, average, ordinary German farmhouse. And there was a light that had come on. A few candles that had been lit as the farmer of the home was getting ready for the work of the day. And he recounts how that little flicker of a candle and a light in a house on a hill was just enough for him to be reminded. This darkness is not all there is. There is still light that flickers. There are still people who are being farmers, tending the earth. There is still goodness yet to come. And Frankl had hope. And it was, in his estimation, prisoners in the Holocaust, in the concentration camps, who had any flicker of hope were the ones who survived, who stuck through it, were able to make it beyond. Friends, in this season, we have to be those flickers of light. We have to be those people who bring hope to those who read the papers and watch the daily news and just get discouraged and despairing because the news never seems very bright. But we have better news. In Christ, God is for us and not against us. In Christ, God is with us and not far off. Reminds me something Jesus said, didn't he? He talked about it in his Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember? He said, "Look, you are the light of the world. You," plural, as he looked out at the disciples and all those listening, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." The church, friends, is to be a place where we develop and we nurture hope, and then we go and we spread it around. We be those flickers of light. Light like a city on a hill shining. It was about this time last year, I found myself getting ready to go on a two-week trip to Zimbabwe. Our church in Castle Rock has been supporting a mission in Zimbabwe for, 20 plus years. I'd never been, but I had heard about the amazing work going on there. And I don't know if you're familiar with Zimbabwe. It is, one of the poorest countries in our world right now, racked with hyperinflation, political instability, and corruption. It's one of those places that just always seems to be just on the edge of chaos. And I was going, and I thought I would encounter people like Frankel found in the concentration camp, people despairing, people without hope, because things were just so bad. Somewhere between 85 to 90% unemployment in the country. I mean, that's pretty bad, right? We're worried about 5%, 7%, 9%. Think about 90%. Oh. But what I found, in fact, was that person after person that I encountered and got to know did not have that sense of despair, but instead there was this profound sense of hope, of optimism and expectancy that said, yes, things are hard right now. We're not going to gloss over that. That is the reality, but we know they will get better. And I thought, how in the world have they developed that sense of hope? And then I began to read and to explore and to ask some other questions. Well, I think it was really grounded in the fact that as Zimbabwe was an English colony for so long, that they had Methodist churches and Presbyterian churches and Anglican churches all over the country, and that the people were rooted in their faith in Christ. It's too bright there. You're like, why did we sit here? This is just trouble. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you. I'm sorry. Maybe I'll just... All right. No, it's not going to work. Sorry, where was I? Oh, Zimbabwe. I mean, these people, they had this faith that grounded them and helped them to know that what is not always. And what will be, God is a part of. I was floored by it. I expected so little and was just overwhelmed by their joy. Their deep faith that helped them to trust and to know that was not all there was. So we are to be people of hope. People bringing light. Henry Nouwen speaks of it this way. Those who keep speaking about the sun while walking under a cloudy sky are messengers of hope, the true saints of our day. So how do we do that? You'll find for me, whenever I wrestle with a text, whenever I'm exploring and putting together a message for us, I want to dive and understand what is God calling us to, and then try and lay out, like, how do we do this? For me, I want to be practical. I don't want to keep everything somewhere up in the clouds or something. I want to say, how do we just live this out? Because that's exactly what we're created for, a life living into God's purposes. So how do we be people of hope who bring light? Well, I don't think I have to tell you a whole lot about this. I've seen it already. You know, I was here yesterday for the food pantry distribution. Wow. Does that bring hope? I think so. I saw the clients, folks coming through, getting their groceries, getting to choose and to pick, having selection and choice, and I saw a lot of smiles. I saw the servants, those of you who were there, working, passing it out, organizing, tearing down boxes, and I thought, wow, there was a lot of joy there and a bounce in the step, because that's what hope looks like. I look forward to the PADS ministry as it begins in October and seeing that, because I'm sure those are moments of hope and light. And those are examples, certainly, of the way in which, as a church, in an organized fashion, in a way that we bring hope and light in the building and in formal ways here. But of course, every one of us has opportunities to bring light and hope to people each day, don't we? I don't know if you noticed, this past week, Mother Teresa was sanctified, if you will, formally made a saint in the Catholic tradition. And I think of Mother Teresa as that person who went into a place where there was just darkness in Calcutta, just the dying leftovers in the streets, if you will. And she brought hope and light. And this is what Pope Francis said in his homily about her. He said, "Look, let us carry her smile in our hearts and give it to those whom we meet along our journey, especially those who suffer like she did." Let us carry her smile and give it. I love that idea. The smile of Mother Teresa, to share it. You and I encounter 5, 10, 15, how many people a day? Some you know, some are strangers. And we don't know their stories, we don't know their situations, but we know Christ. We know the one who loves us and never forsakes us. We know the kingdom that is and will be, the power that's been given to us in the Holy Spirit, and we know God is for us, and so we can share a smile. We can share a helping hand. We can bring hope. To me, that is the call of the 21st century church, to every neighbor and stranger alike, whether they're a person of Christian faith, Muslim faith, Baha'i, atheist. I don't think that matters. I think, in fact, it's beside the point. To bring a smile to someone has no requirement. To be people of hope, friends, that's who we're called to be. That's who the church is called to be. And my hope is that we get to learn to do that and to become such a place of hope, with that optimism and expectancy, with that smile and joy, that this becomes a contagious place. And we'd have to just shut the doors after a while, because it's just too full, right? Because there's just too many people. We can't seat them all, and the fire marshal's mad. No, can't let any more in, right? And we have to add services. Not because I want more people in the pews, but because I want more people to know and to trust in God, to know the hope we have in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful this day that indeed our hope is in you. That indeed rely on nothing else. Because you are the one who gave all so that we would know you. You are the one whose love knows no bounds so that we would know love. You are the one, O God, who brings light in the midst of darkness, who is light and life. O Lord, help us as a church and as individuals to be hope and light, just as you are, into this world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.